outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of Bravada's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is The God Journey. The God Journey. The God Journey.
Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson. I want to welcome you back to The God Journey. You know, after last week's podcast with Kyle and Tracy, we got talking a little bit more about some of Tracy's journey and decided we'd continue the conversation. So we didn't continue it then. We paused a week. We're coming back now, about 10 days after the election. And I'm joined today by Tracy Levinson. Hi, Tracy.
Hello.
She's back with us. And Kyle Rice is with me as well. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Wayne, thanks for having me again.
And you've survived COVID. You're back at work and all is well in your world, except now your grandma has COVID.
Yes, we actually unfortunately had to cancel my grandfather's funeral today. Wow. Because of my grandmother testing positive for COVID. So COVID continues to influence our family out here, but I am definitely back to work, which has been good. I'm excited to be back and working with my kiddos.
You're not the super spreader in that family, are you?
I'm not the super spreader. There may or may not be some family members who may or may not have had very similar symptoms to mine that did not go and get tested and continued working as normal.
I see. You're using this very lawyerly language. Are you trying to?
I cannot confirm or deny.
You're worried about lawsuits from your own family. That's exciting. Very wise too, I might add. So Tracy, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Are you COVID free?
I'm COVID free.
Good. Me too, as far as I know. Hey, listen, how are you guys responding to the election here post 10 days? Looks like Biden may have won, though there's some people that haven't given into that yet. So,
Kyle?
Oh, thank you. Sure, I'll jump
I like Tracy just first. Passing it off. I thought it was ladies first, but I guess that's passé.
I was gonna say, hold on. Wait a minute, Texas. How are you not jumping on this one right away? No, it's been interesting. On my side, in Wyoming specifically, in western Nebraska, it's very conservative. So the vast majority of people are struggling. There are still massive hay bales that are standing that still say Trump 2020 for president. And then I have family members that are extremely strong Biden supporters that have decided to cut off all communication with anybody who potentially could have voted for Trump, because anybody who would even think about voting for Trump is morally evil, and that it's not just a political decision and you're not allowed to have an opinion that Trump is a good president or was a good president, that it's that's just wrong and that makes you an evil person. And so it's a knife edge right now my very, very politically dynamic community and family.
We had a man in our neighborhood get a sign put in his mailbox, which is illegal, a card put in his mailbox, and it said, "Now we know where the racists live." And I guess he had Trump signs in his yard at some point.
Wow.
So, yeah. Tracy, how about Texas?
My focus has been on really, believe it or not, the media. That has been what has been most intriguing to me, not necessarily the outcome of the election. I knew everything was pretty polarized. You could kind of feel that the nation's kind of split in half.
Yep.
But I am so intrigued with how extreme our media has become. And so that really my personal quest in this season, because I actually, everybody hates the news. I've always loved it. I'm interested in information. I'm interested in facts. I love hearing both sides of things. I like to be open-minded. I like to learn. And so I have been kind of on a hunt for who is out there producing information that is either neutral or at least showing both sides, and just trying to navigate that. And so for me, I've been less interested in who's president and how can I just stay informed.
Find a good media outlet. Yeah, for that. I find the AP app, the Associated Press app, to be the most facts only kind of news. I've had my eye on a lot of my friends who were really deeply invested in Trump winning. And I mean people who felt like God had told them that he was going to win definitely. And then you go back to and talk, and some are still struggling with, don't know, you know, God said this would be tough, that the enemy would make it look like he would lose and then he would triumph in the courts or whatever. And they're kind of hanging their hat on that. But others, I had one man just tell me who was really, God had told him Trump was going to win. And when I asked him, I said, "How are you doing?" And he said, "You know what? I've got to really rethink the voice I listened to, whether it's God or not, because I was certain, I had no doubt that God had told me this. And I thought that was incredibly humbling, because one of the things that I said to him is, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 says we all see through a glass darkly. Prophecy is in part. Prophecy is never complete. Nobody's got a corner on it. I don't feel like everything I think I hear from God turns out to be from God. Some things turn out to be Wayne's best aspirations or Wayne's hopes or whatever. And I think that humility of being able to stay in that space of, well, I think I hear this, I hope, and it's particularly when it's something we really want. I think that's where we have to be double careful to look into it. That's where I've been most concerned. I'm concerned for my friends who really invested their spiritual life in something that has evidently turned out not to be true. Now, if Trump pulls a legal something out of the hat and there really was extensive fraud somewhere and we get to see that, I'm all for making sure the election was fair and just and whatever, but it doesn't look like that. There's no one of any reputation that's offering evidence that says something really disgusting happened that swayed the election. But I'm kind of concerned for how they're going to come out of this, because I like you, I know people who are saying, if you voted for Trump, that's it. You're a piece of trash. I'll never talk to you again. But there's a lot of people who supported Trump that wouldn't be like Trump. They just like his policies better than they like the leftist Democrats' policies. So I think we've got to be generous to say, you know, half of us went one way and a little more than half went another way. We've still got to build a country out of this. We've still got to find a way to each other and not put everybody in the extremist hat, whether it's extremist left or the extremist right. But there's one thing I wanted to play for you guys, because this came to me a couple of days ago, and it's Paula White Cain is a spiritual advisor to Donald Trump, and he says that about her, and she's in numerous appearances with him on stage, and in the middle of this election not being decided yet, she offers this prayer, and I want to play a bit of it and then talk about it on the backside.
We break and divide every demonic confederacy against the election, against America, against that who you have declared to be in the White House. We break it up in the name of Jesus. We loose confusion into every demonic confederacy directed right now at this election and demonic plans and networks. We break it up and we command that it be exposed right now in the name of Jesus. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the corridors of heaven. For angels are being released right now. Angels are being dispatched right now. Hamanda aka ata raka te de baka sanda ata ambo osa katarika. For angels have even been dispatched from Africa right now. Africa right now. Africa right now. From Africa right now. They're coming here. They're coming here.
Wow. What do you think of that?
Once again, Kyle.
I like how brave Tracy is. You know, I'd be careful, Kyle, if you're ever standing by a bus and Tracy's in the area. She might throw you under that bus.
I'll have to look out for that.
Yeah, be careful.
Oh, man. Initially, I don't even really know how to respond to that, honestly. Having been in circles like that with that type of prayer and the hard charismatic movement, it can feel very intense. And there can be a lot of quote unquote perceived certainty when you're in the midst of that service. And, you know, when that kind of experience is happening, but so what happens when that doesn't happen? Well, I mean, if this is the spiritual advisor to the leader of our country, and that's the level of, how do I put this? I guess boldness and certainty that individual has that victory is coming, and yet it doesn't happen. Where are we left? Where is she left? Where is a nation, especially if that's the advisor to the leader of our country? What do we do with that? I don't even know where you go from there, from something like that.
As you're talking, it's reminding me of that verse in the book of James that says, you know, you make your plans, you know, and basically instead you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, you know, these plans will occur. So there, like you said, there's a humility in this. When you think you've maybe heard something from the Lord or whatever, there's a humility in that.
I don't know if I necessarily heard a whole lot of humility, in, at least in that that recorded process. You know, it, you never know what went on beyond that, but there was not a lot of humility and a whole lot of certainty and intensity in that prayer, at least from what I could tell.
We're good at this today. I'm bothered at a number of levels. I think that kind of praying, and I grew up around some of that and thought it was genuine when I was younger. And as I've gotten older, I don't see that kind of prayer being effective. It's effective in that it manipulates a crowd. It whips up a crowd into a fury. And yeah, there are people, I'm sure, in that room with her who thought, if we can just pray the right way and call enough angels out of Africa and South America and wherever else we need angels from to get the man in the White House God said he wanted in the White House. I'm going, no, God has the ability to put the man he wants in the White House. 4 years ago, they're all saying God had his way. And now suddenly humanity thwarted God's whatever. And I don't know. I'm not of that school that God handpicks our leader, you know, that we get a vote. And that vote picks our leader, and sometimes we get what we deserve. It's like God didn't want Israel to have a king, but they did, so he gave them a king. And now we have elections, we have presidents, and for those that will say we can pray in a way that overcomes the votes of the electorate has a strange view of God.
Well, it also feels like a work. When prayer is like that, absolutely, it feels like a work. And I can tell you, now, y'all know that I didn't come from a Christian background.
Yep.
And so my experience with Christianity did not look like that. But I will tell you, as a non-believer or as a seeker, if I had seen that, I would have run so far away from Christianity. I mean, I would have gone, y'all are, but I mean, I would have thought y'all are a bunch of weirdos.
I played that for my daughter today. And I said, aren't you glad you're not in that? And she said, yeah. And I said, you know, me too. I'm like you. I think that's embarrassing. That thing's been viewed like over 3 million times or something by people who are making determinations about Christians, even Christians who supported Trump, like they would put them all in that. I find that kind of praying to be more self-focused and self-centered. And like you said, performance, if we can do this hard enough, we'll get there. And yet no one backs off of that stuff when it doesn't work. See, that's where my life was. I realized it didn't work back there in my life. I could pray that kind of stuff and rile it all up and be intense, and things still didn't work out the way I wanted. I can't make God do my will. I can't make God force his will on other people. And so I learned to go, okay, this kind of praying is a waste of my time. And the other thing, I look in scripture and I'm going, is there anything Jesus did that sounds like that? This repetitive chanting of, you know, the sound of the waters and the victory's coming, and you chant and you repeat and you wind up a crowd, but you haven't invoked the presence and power of God. It's not in God's character to be like that. And I'm surprised now that people don't see through that. Why is this woman advising the president? Why is she? And I don't have a problem with the speaking in tongues. I don't have that because I speak in tongues. I believe in that. But the fervor of that, the guy pacing behind her on the stage, and we'll link the video if people want to see it. There's just stuff going on there going, how does this have anything to do with the character of Jesus? And I know it's the desperation of, man, we prophesied this. We've got to make it happen. I had a friend who prophesied that some guy had a sickness that was not unto death. And they prayed for him to be healed, and he was not healed. And so then he died. And so then they kept his body. They asked the mortuary if they keep his body on ice. They came in every day for 2 weeks and prayed because God told them this man would not die.
They did not.
Yes, they did for 2 weeks. In fact, I know a mortuary person who saw that video, the security video of these people in there trying to raise this guy off the bed and heal him is circulating around mortuaries as a point of how ridiculous Christians are. And after 2 weeks, he wasn't raised from dead. So he finally had a service. And I asked, because I went to the service, the guy was a friend of mine. And so I asked my other friend who was all part of this prayer thing. I said, so, you know, I'm sorry things didn't work out the way you hoped, you know, whatever. He said, oh, don't worry. We believe he's coming back. I said, you believe he's coming back? Yeah, he may walk into his funeral today. I said, Isn't he cremated and buried? What do you mean he's going? It's not done yet, because God said, 2 years later, we're talking to the guy, and he's still saying, oh, we'll see Jerry again. And I said, are you talking about the resurrection of the last day, or are you talking about in this physical life? And I think there's two kinds of people, right? There's people who prophesy stuff that doesn't happen, and they begin to humbly step back and say, maybe I'm going down a path that isn't godly. And there's others who are never going to find that level of humility. They're going to keep trying to find a way to explain it, to keep praying. There's got to be something. I know people holding out hope that they pray hard enough, this election will turn around, and it'll grab victory from the jaws of defeat and make Donald Trump that much more powerful. And I'm just going, you guys got to be kidding. There's not even a wave of intensity of Republicans to say there's fraud and we need to find it. I mean, if there were indications of it, there would be waves of concern in people. So,
I mean, there actually are some incidences of fraud. Now, are they enough to turn the election? It doesn't look like it.
I just mean the Republican leaders in Congress, they're saying Trump ought to have whatever time he wants, but they're not in there saying, we know this, he's right. We've got, you know, they're all kind of already post-governing past this election. I think it's part of, I'm so invested in this and so invested in prophecy and what I prophesied that I can't let go of it when it's not, obviously not true. And I think that does take a level of humility to say, wow, you know, I might have got that wrong. And now I'll get to learn something if I did. Get to learn what it is to listen to God and how it is that we embellish things we want with God's signature on it. I've done that. I've admitted to that numerous times, because you want something so bad, you're just sure God's in it with you. And then you find out he's not. What I've noticed over time in Christianity, there's no accountability for that. As much as Christianity talks about accountability, I know people who prophesy, I will stake my entire ministry on Y2K will introduce a whole international depression. It didn't happen. The ministry goes on. The people really don't care. That's my dude. I love her. I love him. I like being in those fevered prayer chant moments. And I'm not going to stop and think, maybe God's not in that to the degree that I thought he was. And that's not to say they're not Christians and God doesn't love them and whatever. But man, there are Christians who are deluded into things about God that cause great harm and hurt to people and damage God's reputation in the world. But the other thing I know is this. God doesn't seem to care. God's got the Paula White video. It's on there. He's not doing anything to stop it. People are watching it, and he's going, you know, it's part of their journey. People get real offended and whatever, but I'm still going to find a way to reach into their souls. You know, when you're wrong, just be wrong. Just have the wherewithal to say, you know what, I really thought. That's what I loved about my other friend who just said, you know, I thought that was God. Now I'm going to rethink his voice. And I think anything you're that certain of, you ought to rethink his voice. I don't know anybody who I know is close to God who speaks with that kind of certainty as to outcomes. They will say, you know, God put this on my heart. I think this might be true. They've lived enough with it not working to go, yeah, I'm not sure this is going to happen the way I think it does.
I was just going to say, if they're pretty certain, they really just have to say it once. If they just are assured in their spirit, they don't have to chant it. And I mean, if they really believe they heard from the Lord, they can just sit in it and be still.
Yeah, but some people, I agree with you completely. But then people feel like, well, God's told us so that we will do that chanting, because that chanting will release the angels and it will cause things to happen that won't happen if we're not chanting like that. There's other people who dismiss what you said to go, no, this is important because we make this happen.
We don't name it and claim it. If we don't loose it in heaven so that it's loosed here on earth, then it's not going to happen.
I'm reading Isaiah again, and I tell you what, the whole thing about arrogance and how offensive arrogance is to God and how much people who think they speak in God's name are not. And somehow we think that's bypassed us today. Anybody who claims to speak in God's name does. And I want believers to really step back from moments like that and say, is this God or isn't it? And I need to learn so that I don't get sucked into this kind of stuff down the road. Instead of, oh, well, she might have made a mistake, but she's a great person. She wouldn't be meeting with Trump if she wasn't. She really knows God, and this is the way to do it. And I'm going to go in my room, and I'm going to chant stuff like that for hours on end and get my husband saved or get healing from cancer or whatever. And those things don't work, and they disillusion people.
There has to be a discernment between emotion and sensing something in the spirit with humility.
Yeah.
There's, and you can have a, I mean, you know, sometimes I'm sure God can do, God still can raise the dead. I'm sure he can. God can still.
And does.
Send angels. God can also whisper or just give you a lack of peace. I mean, the things of God aren't always dramatic or big looking, because most of this kingdom works with a little tiny seed. And sometimes the seed is something very humble and very small.
Like you said, the genuine doesn't need to be hyped. And I think it's one of the things when we're hyping a crowd, a lot of the spiritual warfare, quote unquote, kinds of things that people have embraced like that really have in mind whipping up the crowd in the room more than they have to do with moving God's hand. And I don't think even the people leading it know that. Because the fervor in the room gets high and they really feel like God's doing some stuff. And then occasionally something happens and that kind of validates them. So they're back at it again. And I would suspect when Trump was saying at some point, you know, one day this virus will just go away, I will bet you money one of his spiritual advisors had told him that God said the virus would just go away one day and he'd be fine. And he put his thing in that. I'll say it'll just go away someday. And then it doesn't, because I know the people that surround him, and they were hoping that virus would just go away. Donald Trump would be right. Everything would be good with the world. They go on doing their thing. And God's chosen a different course for us, or we've chosen a different course for us. And I'm kind of excited to see what this next chapter is going to bring. I've gotten lots of email from my people who listen to God Journey overseas saying, oh, we're really praying with you Americans. We know it's a difficult time for you. I'm not having a difficult time at all. However this came out, God still is at work. I'm part of an unshakable kingdom. I'm not part of one that gets shaken by whatever result this would be. Life goes on. My family goes on. God's purpose in the world goes on. And I'm sure he could have worked with either outcome, because he's just really good at what he does.
I mean, that was a mic drop. So what are we supposed to do after that, Wayne? I mean, we completely
Kyle?
Agree. Oh, geez. Oh, my gosh.
Kyle?
No, don't even get me started trying to follow that up. I don't know. I guess one of the interesting parts that for me, as I've been watching this whole process, is the calls to unity, specifically some of the statements that Biden has made, reaching out to Trump supporters and saying, okay, even though you didn't vote for me, it's time to unify the country, which in heart I love. And yet I wonder what his vision or whichever president won the election, I would be intrigued to see what that actually looks like. What does that mean to re-heal a country?
Yeah, Clinton said it, Bush said it, Obama said it, Trump didn't say it, but every winning president pretty much says similar stuff. And then what do you do from there? Do you actually invite people who disagree with you into the process?
Yeah.
Or do you now, we've won it, we're going to get our way? And certainly there's going to be people on the left pushing Biden to run as far left as he can run. These stupid people have driven us for 4 years. Now we're going to take it back and tit for tat politics.
Yeah, there's center right and there's center left. And so there's a group of people that have kind of risen up that don't really know where they stand, because they're not extreme over here and they're not extreme over there. Yep. And I'm thinking, because I've been seeking out other sources for news, I'm finding that they're center left and center right that are finding each other, because they're not attracted to either of the extremes. And the way we're treating each other.
You were talking about some of the community you found in the difficult circumstances you went through recently.
Yeah, and it really does kind of relate to what we were just talking about the extremes of faith. Past couple of years, both of you men know the story, but I've had a lot of trials, and they were like a perfect storm of difficulty for me. My husband is absolutely precious and will let me talk about my story. Years ago, I decided I wanted to take a pottery class, and I completely sucked. Like I was the only person, like my clay kept flying off the spinning wheel. I was the worst. But I walked away being really intrigued by the whole deal where you fired the pottery, and the more you fired it, however many times it went into the fire, the stronger the pottery was. And that pottery can be broken and reshaped into something else. And so my last season sucked out the butt. Like, it was so bad.
That's graphic language there.
I was leading a quiet life, minding my own business, and I wrote a book. And while I was writing a book, my mother got cancer, my father-in-law got cancer, my sister-in-law got cancer. They all died during that. I wrote this book on, really was on the gospel, but it was about sex. And all of a sudden, my husband started taking all these medications, which he has given me permission to share with you. And all of a sudden, we were struggling with our intimacy because he was taking all these medications. And I wanted him off of them, and he didn't want to go off of them. And then at one point, I lost my hearing because I got a horrible virus. And while I had lost my hearing, I was in Colorado speaking, and I fell down a flight of stairs and almost killed myself. I kept getting shingles. My son got married. My husband and I had bought a piece of property. And then what really happened that really rocked my world is that years ago in my marriage, there was a moment where there was a betrayal, and we had worked through that. But right at this time in my life, with all this, this is in the past 2 years, there was an incident where it wasn't the same as that, but it was brushed against that. It sent me into sorrow like you can't imagine, where I literally came to a place where I just didn't even know if I should stay married to my husband. And at that moment, my husband got a cancer diagnosis.
Wow.
So then he got cancer, and we had already bought a property, left Dallas. I was remodeling a property here. He was going through cancer treatment. And I found myself where the Apostle Paul says, we literally experienced more than we could bear. In my little personal world, for everything that I valued and everything that meant something to me, it was like my world was rocked so deeply that I could barely make it. And I had one of my friends said, Tracy, you remind me of Flat Stanley. It's like you're flat. And what I found is nobody was prophesying over me. I wasn't prophesying over myself that everything was going to be great, and that I could just skip over the sorrow that I felt about my marriage, the devastation that I felt that my husband was having surgery, and in that surgery meant we probably would never be able to make love again in the choices that were being made medically for him. I felt so much sorrow that I did not know what to do with myself. And all I found is that I like hit rock bottom, and I found that Jesus was the rock at my bottom. So at the base of me, I really did trust God. But the cool part is I trusted God because I just knew two things. I knew God was real, and I knew he was good, and I knew he loved me, and I knew he was present with me. And my life felt like it sucked, but I believed that. And so what I didn't, I was miserable. I mean, there were days where I go, God, I was joking with God, but I'd be like, God, am I even a Christian? Like, I don't have any joy. I have no peace. But on those days, I would reach out to a friend. I couldn't even pray. I couldn't even help myself, but I would reach out to a friend and they would pray for me, or they would just know that I was in a bad place and that I needed just someone to know me and to love me, and it was okay. And Wayne reached out to me, you know, off and on during this time period. And there was one email you sent me, and you had one little line on it, like, me and Sarah were praying for you, Tracy, and that your joy would be complete, something like that. And then you said, but really joy would be complete. And I had no joy at that time, but it like helped me just to cling to that my life could get better. But I guess what I want to say is my trust in God at that time wasn't based on me feeling anything good. Like, my whole deal with God, I was steady, but I was miserable. Like, I mean, I wanted to go home. Like, I mean, home like heaven. Like, every day, I just wanted to go home. But I felt this, a need to be very vulnerable with people and let people know. I felt the need for my story to be known, and it wasn't pretty. And it was, if I wanted everybody to think I had a perfect marriage, well, forget that. And all I did is wait I know God's character, and I knew he would restore me. I didn't know that my circumstances would be what I want them to be, and they're actually not. And my husband had an incredible, for real, encounter with God. I watched him change over a year period, like real change, like you can't make this stuff up kind of change. And I know that me getting to the point where I got, I know that God used that for him to realize, oh my gosh, I better get myself together, because my wife is like on the line here. My marriage is on the line. But I guess what my takeaway from all of it was that being vulnerable and being honest about where I was at, and letting people love on me was just what I needed. I couldn't take care of myself. I needed God, but I needed other people. I feel like in some ways he chose to not really meet my needs directly, because he wanted me to lean into the body of Christ and let them love on me.
Tracy, when you and I were talking a little bit about your story and about where you'd been and processing some of this, one of the things that you said, that God almost limited his response, or limited the level of care that he gave you directly, and actually pushed you out of your box into community. Could you explain that a little bit more, or unpack that a little bit more?
Well, so in my life, I've always been pretty resilient, and I've had several trials. I mean, I didn't list them all, but I've had several. And for some reason, I was always able to go to God directly myself, pray, really feel like encouraged by him. I could go into the Word of God and I'd read something that I thought was cool and inspire me. It's been pretty, I don't know, even know, there's things that I've gone through that I amaze myself. Like, I'm amazed some of the things I've been through, and I'm like, wow, like I really, like, I did pretty good. And when this season came, it was more than I could bear. Like it was the perfect storm for me to be so miserable. I did not want to be on the planet anymore. Like, I was so miserable. And so what happened was, I am very big on safe people. Like, that's a good question. Like, who's a safe person? Like in the book of Proverbs, it says, tells you who to seek counsel from. If you're going to get some counsel from somebody, like, who are you going to seek it from? And I had spent several years building relationships with people that I consciously figured out that they were healthy people. And I'll just give you a quick segue to that. I was really the kind of girl years before this who kind of had one best friend, just one best friend, a couple other friends, you know, but I had one main person and then another friend who was super long distance. And my best friend broke up with me. She and her husband were having some issues and they separated. And when they separated, she stopped talking to me at the same time. And I went to see my counselor and she told me, I really want you to think about relationships. And so I went home that day and I started writing a list of the qualities that I felt like would be healthy for me in friendships. And my kids were laughing because they walked past me and they were in high school and they're like, Mom, what are you doing? I go, I'm making a list of what I'm looking for in a friend. They were like, Mom, that's so sad. And so, but I took that list and then I made three columns. And in one column, I wrote the name of anybody that I knew that had like the top three qualities on that list. Maybe they were, you know, initiators, or maybe they were really graceful, or maybe they were open-minded, or whatever the quality that I was thinking would be really healthy for me in that season. Wrote down the name of people that I knew that maybe had those top two or three qualities. Then I made another list of people that I've ever met in my life that I had lost touch with. And I wrote down names of people that maybe had those top two or three qualities. And then this was the life-changing list. I made a list in the third column of anyone that I had ever met that I did not know well. But my best guess was they probably had those three qualities, non-judgmental, graceful, whatever those three were. And then I wrote it on the piece of paper, the names. And then that's when my kids were really laughing. I pulled up my phone and I texted seven women and said, hey, there's a park that I really want to go walk at. And I was wondering if you'd ever want to meet me there sometime. And I'm sure it surprised all of them because it wasn't like I was really friends with any of them. And five of them said yes. Four of them walked with me. Three of them are my three of my dearest friends now, and they are such healthy relationships. And those three women got me through this past season that I just went in.
Well, I think one of the things that really helped is I talked to you a few times over the last, that season, was you felt like God had given you a date. Like, don't make a decision until here. Just let things ride, go on the journey, see what I do. And then you're going to know better to make the decisions you feel like you have to make now. I think it was like a year from now, right? It was like a year out?
It was a year and a half. Oh, this is that prophecy thing. So I'm glad you brought this up, because the question is, my sheep hear my voice. So can we hear God, right? What happened was, my husband was really the biggest issue. And I say this, I don't want to be dishonoring, but he was just really immature is really what it was. It was being lazy and immature. And something had happened. It wasn't the second time around. It wasn't an affair. It just was an inappropriate thing, a private message to a person. And it didn't even look that bad on paper. But it hit my heart the same as an affair would have. And I was devastated. And I went on a walk that day. And I don't know how to explain it other than everybody has their way that they hear God. I never hear anything real dramatic. Nothing's really like a big vision. It's always like a tiny little small still voice. But I had gone to lunch with a friend that day, and she had said to me, "Tell me where your heart is." A friend. See, I had a friend. She came up, she drove all the way up to Austin from where she was and came to spend the day with me. Praise God. And she said, "Where are you at?" And I took a fork and a knife at the table, and I said, and I burst into tears. And I said, "I'm at a crossroad, and I've always been committed to my marriage, and I've never wanted to be at a crossroad, and I'm at a crossroad." So that day I went on a walk in the woods, and I didn't know the woods because it was a new city. I didn't know it. And as I'm walking, I'm listening to music and I'm praying to God, like, what do I do? Like, what do I do? I can't stay in this marriage the way it is. It's to the point now where I just am not taking care of myself if I allow myself to be treated like this. And I came to a crossroad, and I felt the Lord confirm that I was at a crossroad. And I threw my hands in the air and said, "How long?" And in my spirit, I don't know how to explain it, but in my spirit, I felt this assurance that the God said a year and a half. And I was sort of annoyed. I'm like, a year and a half? That's like a really long time.
Eternity.
But then, right? Yeah. But then I was like, well, that's kind of smart, because I would never pick a year and a half. I'm not like that. Like, I'm an all in, all out kind of girl. But I felt like God invited me to stand for a year and a half at the crossroad of my marriage. And I was willing by the end of it to do either, to go left or right. And it would have been easier to leave, just so you know. But God is wise. And I don't, in every situation, often people don't repent. And I have a friend who's a counselor. His name is Bob. He's a genius. And he said to me when this whole thing started, because he had met with Bruce and I, and he saw the whole thing. And he said, "You've got to look for two things, Tracy. Don't listen to a word he says. If he genuinely has compassion for you and can take responsibility, compassion and responsibility for the relationship and the choices he's made and the consequences of the choices he's made, if he can have compassion over you and, you know, take responsibility for the relationship and the things that he's done," he said, "then you've got a way. There's a way for the two of you to become one." He said, "but if he doesn't, no matter what he says, it will continue to be the same story that you've been living your whole marriage."
And so that 18 months is up, and you've made the decision to lean back into this relationship?
18 months was up about 4 months ago. And the whole time, Bruce knew that I was making a choice. And God used the tension of that for him to do some real soul searching and to really do some soul searching with God. And I kept saying the whole time, "Look, I love you and I like you and I'm attracted to you. Whether I'm, you know, with you or not, I'm always going to love you and like you and be attracted to you. I'm just going to decide if this is healthy for me." And in a prayer time, to be honest with you, I had a prayer time with the Lord. I was willing to do whatever. And in my prayer time, I was just seeking the Lord. And I don't know how to explain it, but I had a picture that I would stay with Bruce. And so I turned towards Bruce, but this is the key. I turned towards him because I sensed something in my spirit that God was leading me in that direction. And there's a big discernment, like you talked about that prophecy video at the beginning, where there's all this emotion and people think that's God. And yeah, God can work through our emotion. If I had let my emotions make any of my decisions in this season, I would have done something stupid. And this is what Colin and I talked about the other day about community. I'll tell you exactly why I let all the people in my life. I mean, it's ugly. Kyle knew what was going on in my life. You know what was going on in my life. I mean, my life was ugly. It didn't look pretty. But I've counseled enough people to know that when you hit your rock bottom and when your life is stinky and if you've experienced betrayal or hurt, you can justify all kinds of dumb things. And so on purpose, I let people know. And I kind of spread it out because I knew it would be too much of a burden for one person. So I didn't, you know, just burden one of my friends. I spread it out. I knew that if I didn't tell on myself, that I would be positioning myself to fall into some sort of, you can call it sin, you can call it stupidity, whatever you want to call it. But I would have been, if I let my emotions decide for me, and that's why even now in my marriage, I'm committed to my marriage. But I turned towards that because I sensed the Lord pulling me that way. And because I really did experience a repentant man. I mean, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation, but my husband is really walking in that new creation experience. Like if I had to go find a guy right now who had the qualities that I would look for, he's letting himself be who God really created him to be. And he is walking in those things.
For me, I just want to say, I appreciate the fact that you are willing to allow yourself to be seen and in this journey and that you're still continuing to do that. And I love just the humility and the courage that you walk that out with. So thank you.
Yeah. And the vulnerability is sure helpful to other people who are caught in similar places. And yeah. I love the focus on finding friends that are safe, finding people you can share your passion with and letting God's clarity rise out of that in your own prayer times until you know what it is that he asked you to do.
And I do want to honor Bruce because I have his full permission to share all of this. And the fact that he's at a place where he just wants to help people and he lets me do that is pretty amazing.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.